Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. We're going to get to some emails here shortly, but can't do that now. Now, can we? Because you know what time it is. Every single Monday at this time, we do something called Medal of Honor Monday here on the Jesse Kelly Show. And here's what it is. Every time somebody earns a Medal of Honor, they do a write-up. They describe what that person did to earn the Medal of Honor. And they're all available online. They're all available for free online. And so we just take one every single Monday and we read it. That's it. Sometimes we do a little history around it, but that's it. Why? Well, you're mad about culture. And we talk a lot about culture. From the beer ads to the cartoons to everything, culture matters. But culture is just what your society incentivizes and what your society disincentivizes. That's all it is. Who do we hold up as heroes? Who do we hold up as villains? These are the people we should admire. We should talk about these men. We should talk about their deeds. You can talk about them with your class in school if you're a teacher, Sunday school teacher, little league coach. If you're a mother, if you're a father, talk about them around the dinner table. It's not like I earned any of these. Take the idea for yourself and freaking run with it. This is the kind of thing we need to do. This is the kind of thing that shapes culture. They are constantly holding up. The evil people are constantly holding up other evil people as saints and someone to admire. Why don't we find our good people and do it? Oh, and remember, if you have ones you like, ones you either are close to, family, friends, just ones you enjoy reading about, email in suggestions. We take those, as well as your love, hate, and death threats. Email those into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. This one says, this is an email, says, Dear B-17 lover, as an admirer of the World War II and the Air Force, he said, just like you are, I love your liking for the B-17, even though my preference for bombers is the B-29, but that's something for another discussion. I'd also like to bring your attention to the fact that the bombing raids over Germany were saved by the appearance of the B-51 Mustang, since the raids were almost canceled after the huge losses they suffered at the hands of the Luftwaffe fighters. The P-51 Mustang was the first fighter with enough range to escort the bombers all the way to Germany and back, and it's curious there is only one Medal of Honor granted to a P-51 Mustang pilot. The name was James Howell Howard. And he says, best wishes to you and your team. And I'm not going to say his name because he didn't say I could. So let's learn about this James Howell Howard, U.S. Army Air Corps. This was January 11th, 1944.
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity above and beyond the call of duty in action with the enemy near Oschersleben, Germany, on the 11th of January, 1944. What, Chris? On that day, Colonel Howard was the leader of a group of P-51 aircraft providing support for a heavy bomber formation on a long-range mission deep in enemy territory. As Colonel Howard's group met the bombers in the target area, the bomber force was attacked by numerous enemy fighters. Colonel Howard, with his group, at once engaged the enemy and himself destroyed a German ME-110. As a result of this attack, Colonel Howard lost contact with his group and at once returned to the level of the bomber formation. He then saw that the bombers were being heavily attacked by enemy airplanes and that no other friendly fighters were at hand. While Colonel Howard could have waited to attempt to assemble his group before engaging the enemy, he chose instead to attack single-handedly a formation of more than 30 German airplanes. With utter disregard for his own safety, he immediately pressed home determined attacks for some 30 minutes, during which time he destroyed three enemy airplanes and probably destroyed and damaged others. Toward the end of this engagement, three of his guns went out of action and his fuel supply was becoming dangerously low. Despite these handicaps and the almost insuperable odds against him, Colonel Howard continued his aggressive action in an attempt to protect the bombers from numerous fighters. His skill, courage, and intrepidity on this occasion set an example of heroism which will be an inspiration to the U.S. Armed Forces. You know, I will tell you something. I have never claimed to be a good father. And I love my sons. I worry about the bad parts about me. I've passed down to them. But I want to be a good dad. For all the other screw-ups I've done in my life, I want to be a good father. And I look at my sons oftentimes through the lens of these Medal of Honor citations, meaning, what do I have to do to make my sons the kind of men that will be alone in a fighter plane and look at 30 German fighter planes and just step on the gas and say, let's roll? How do you turn a young man into that? I don't have the answer. I really wish I did. I wish I had the answer. But whatever that is, man, I want that for my sons. Think about that. Think about how insane that is. 30 fighter planes. I'm alone. Screw it. I'm not in trouble. They're the ones in trouble. And yeah, like the guy mentioned, the B-29, remember the B-17 was early in World War II. The B-29 was called the Super Fortress. It was a better plane in every way than the B-17, which you could argue the B-17 was kind of sorry. B-29 had greater range, had a much, much, much increased bomber capacity, could drop way more bombs. So the B-29 was superior in every way. I only liked the B-17 so much because it was my first introduction when I was a child, a young child, 5 or 6 years old. I remember playing with these toys. It was my first introduction to a plane that had all these different people on it and all these different guns on it. And I was trying to wrap my mind around this fact as a child. Wait a minute. So there are machine guns like sticking out everywhere on the plane? And you can shoot them and other planes? Like, I still remember how blown away I was by this. Just the concept that something like that existed. And yeah, he's right about the bombing campaigns. This is something we talked a little bit about last week, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it now. But these bombers, even with all the, quote, cool machine guns I saw when I was a kid, bombers, no matter how many machine guns they have, they're so vulnerable to enemy fighters. Enemy fighters are just too fast, and their guns, which are always on the front, are too accurate, and you just can't fight them off. And we had so many guys die in the 8th Air Force in World War II trying to bomb France, trying to bomb the German positions in France, trying to bomb Germany, because once that bomber formation, once it lost the fighter escort, because the fighters only had so much fuel, it was like a big cow lumbering along with lions all around it. That's really what it was. It just, there wasn't much you could do. We would lose half these guys sometimes. Half. Imagine that, sending out a group of them, and half of them come back home. It's crazy, the stories of bravery. I started watching this weekend. The boys are old enough now, we're trying to introduce them to things that, on television, that we think are providing good lessons or good historical examples. And my oldest is starting to be a history freak. I wonder where he got that. But we started watching Band of Brothers with them this weekend. Obviously, the language is not, it's not great. It's a bunch of soldiers. So you're good. There are going to be some potty words in there. There are going to be some words they're not allowed to repeat. And obviously, there's going to be violence in there. But It's very authentic, very real. And it kind of brought some of this stuff, brought some of it home during one of the first episodes. I forget which one it was. I think the second episode, when they're flying in, these guys, these paratroopers are flying in the day before D-Day to drop themselves at night behind the enemy lines at Normandy. And you got a real great view of it in that show. All the anti-aircraft guns shooting up from below and then the flak blowing up all around you. And just honestly, I knew the story and I've seen Band of Brothers before. And I found myself, I was on the couch, the whole fam was on the couch and we were watching it. I found myself wincing, thinking, oh gosh, get out of the plane. Oh, it just, the thought of it, man. And that's what those 8th Air Force guys went through every single time they flew those missions, man. Crazy bravery. Crazy. All right. I haven't done any emails. I'm about to do some serious emails. And then don't forget, about half hour from now, we have Joe Sweeney with the Acervo Project coming on. Child predators. Do you have kids? Are you a kid? Don't think that this is just for the kids on the wrong side of the track. You need to stick around and hear what Joe has to say. All right. About a half hour from now. Get to an email real quick here. Dr. Jesse. Coming down from a massive Mother's Day high, he said Rasta Chris knows what I'm talking about. Anyway, said after taking 100% credit for your pre-born gift idea, my mom met me for dinner, bragging how she was starting monthly pre-born donations in the name of my two recently deceased aunts. He said she lost both her sisters in the span of 8 months, and oh, that's sad. If I had feelings, it would have moved me to tears, he said. Your brilliant idea will live eternally in the names of my aunts Brenda and Felicia. I would be honored if you used their names. Man, I am honored. And I've fallen in love with this campaign. You know, preborns providing these ultrasounds, free ultrasounds to women who are about to have an abortion. You know, it costs some $28. I love this idea of giving in the name of someone you want to honor. Man, that's the kind of legacy I want. $28 buys that ultrasound, saves a baby. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you give. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse USA! Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and apparently we here at the Jesse Kelly Show are causing some tensions in America's homes, and we will get to that in a couple minutes. We're going to get to emails. We got Joe with the Acervo Project coming. We still have all kinds of juicy stuff tonight on the Jesse Kelly Show. I'm about to say something, and I know you're going to get mad at me when I say it. I love Mondays. Shut up, Chris. I know everyone hates Mondays, and I understand that, but what happens is on the weekend, I mostly walk away from politics like I tell you to. Every now and then I'll post a couple things online, but I just do other stuff on the weekends, family and everything. So by the time Monday rolls around, I have all kinds of stuff to say. And there's all kinds of stuff that happened in the weekend and I haven't had anything to say. So Monday comes and I am that annoying guy in the office you worked with one time. Yeah, baby, Monday. So exciting. I'm that guy now. Gosh, I hate myself. Now, let's talk about Friday, because there are some things we have to discuss. Look, this is just you and me talking, all right? It's just you and me, so let's have a discussion. On Friday's show, those who listen, maybe some of you haven't podcasted it yet. Remember, they podcast every show's live on 200 stations across the country, but they podcast every show when it's done. But Fridays are Ask Dr. Jesse Fridays. You know that. I know that. Everyone knows that. Okay, we got it. We got it. On Friday, I did something I've never done before. And I warned you I was going to do it on Thursday, that I was going to take Ask Dr. Jesse questions by phone. And I even said on Thursday, I said, I know this is a mistake. Remember, I told you, I said, this is like dating a redhead. I know it's a mistake, but I'm going to do it anyway. And then I'll hate myself for it afterwards. Isn't that verbatim what I said on Thursday? That's what I said. And then Friday came around and I repeated again. I know this is going to be a mistake. I know it is, but I'm going to open up the phones to Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And you remember what I did? And Chris and Michael can testify to this, and they're always against me. I gave out specific instructions. Chris, Michael, did I not give out specific instructions? That's right, Chris. Twice. I told people to get right to the point. I told people it's not time for speeches. No speeches. Get on the phone. Ask a question. Get on the phone. Ask a question. It's not what it's what I said several times, right? And then we were, what, an hour into the show? Three strikes. I cut everyone off, sent the phone screener home. I got this email about it. Jesse, every caller broke the rules. How difficult is it to just ask a question? This is more distressing than the state of the world. I will never call your show and be the only one to just ask a question. Okay, listen. There is something that I actually learned. I want to credit boot camp for this, Marine Corps boot camp for this. And my sons, if they're listening, I think they're studying tonight, but if they're listening, they will already know what I'm about to say. But it's something I took from Marine Corps boot camp, and I have made it as part of my parenting. If you were a Marine or a Marine now, if you're still in, I realize you're always a Marine, but I don't know how recently they started doing this. Maybe they stopped. But there is something they start yelling at you early on in boot camp, and they will yell it at you over and over and over. They will beat it into your head. And at first it's annoying, and eventually you get it. You know what they yell at you? Failure to follow simple instructions. Failure to follow simple instructions. Over and over and over and over again. Failure to follow simple instructions. And you would think it's not necessary, right? Because you're a smart person. You would think that. When I tell Chris, take the anti-communist manifesto that's available at jessekellybook.com. Take this book and move it to the kitchen. Michael, grab the bowls that are in the sink and pay the maid to wash them. Those are two very specific, simple instructions. I'm not telling you that. Don't do that, guys. It's just an example for radio. Those are very specific, very simple instructions. I should A, not have to repeat myself, and B, that should be easy to follow. Very simple, very clear, presented in a clear fashion. But in boot camp, they will take 3 months beating that into you. Why? Because people can't do it. People are not raised that way. They are not. It's astounding when you get in a big group environment and you are assigned this, you have to do this, you have to do that. How many people were given simple instructions and cannot follow simple instructions? It is amazing. It's something about the human mind where it just blocks certain things out. I don't know what it is, but now I'll tell my sons it all the time. James, go get me a Phillips head screwdriver so I can do this. Luke, pick up the trash, put it in that cardboard box, take the cardboard box to the garage. It doesn't get done. They know exactly what I'm going to be saying. Failure to follow simple instructions over and over and over again. Uh-oh, we're causing tension in the home, Chris. Jesse, my husband and I were practicing with Mantis X, and I told my husband, I will protect you. Ooh, all my shots with the 9mm were dead center. And she puts laugh out loud in there. Ladies, I'm going to tell you something. And you know what a chauvinist I am, right? But I'm going to tell you something. Women, I think it's because they don't, I think it's because they actually receive instruction better than men do on manly things. But women are really, really good at accepting firearms instruction, and they get really good fast. Women get better faster than men do when they practice. I have seen this over and over and over and over and over again. You can't back up a car to save your life, but daggone, can you shoot? I've seen it over and over again. But ladies, I'm glad you're practicing with your Mantis X. I am glad you're doing this as a family. I've told you before, it's wonderful, fun, beneficial family time, healthy for everybody and good. Ladies, when you start out shooting him, please don't brag about it. That's something the wife would do. Oh, my wife would do that in a heartbeat. Not only would she do it, Chris, she would know it would get to me, so she'd bring it up in front of other people. Out of nowhere, too. Oh, like when I outshot you today on Mantis X? Oh, yeah. No, she would. She would. She's that kind of person, Chris, which I can't believe because I'm so kind and giving, and then she just will be spiteful like that. Hey, get your Mantis X, though. Practice as a family. Practice by yourself. You will watch yourself get good. You watch, they keep track of your scores, putting you through drills. You will get good without firing a shot. Practice in the comfort of your home. Go to MantisX.com and get one, man. MantisX.com. All right? Hang on.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and we are out there trying to help people who need help, correct? We all need a mission, all of us. You do, I do. Got a good one for you. You ready for this one? Joining me now is my friend Joe Sweeney. He is the founder of the Acervo Project. Joe, it's not the Jesse Kelly Project. It's the Acervo Project. So I'm going to shut my freaking mouth and let you tell people what it is that you do.
All right, Jesse. Hey, thanks. Good talking with you, brother. The Acervo Project, we're a anti-human trafficking and child exploitation organization. Several years back, we identified a gap with law enforcement, with our colleagues in law enforcement, of the scope of this epidemic and some of the resources that were needed. So we developed a model where we support law enforcement by having our cyber analytic group. They're online looking for child predators. And what our job is to identify their real identity, locate them, and share this information with law enforcement so we can actually save them months of work so they can actually turn that case around and arrest and have a prosecution and conviction in a much shorter time to help with the overflow of their cases. And we also educate the high school and middle school kids, thousands of kids so far this year and last year, on the dangers of online communication with these apps that they're on and all this social media and high tech that they're using. The kids don't realize that a lot of people that they're speaking to are not who they think they are. And they're predatorial, and they're setting these kids up to try to exploit them in any way they can. They try to identify their vulnerabilities and then manipulate them into doing things they normally wouldn't do.
Joe, how widespread is this problem? I mean, I'm a father. I got two sons. I live in the Houston area of Texas, but I drive to and from work every day, grocery store, track practice on the weekends. I don't see any human traffickers or child predators, do I?
Well, they hide in plain sight, Jess. Jesse. It's a $150 billion criminal enterprise globally.
Oh.
They estimate $35 billion of that in the United States alone is the sex trade. And that's not only adults that's out there under the guise of prostitution. You know, 80-85% of these people were forced into that. And that's not even touching the child predator piece. I just had a call today from a girl who was actually stalked at a Walmart in Arkansas. And I had met her before, and she told me this horrific story. And there were three people that were actually trailing her into the store. She was shopping for a gift with her sister for Mother's Day. So, you know, we did identify some things there, but you have to be situationally aware. Most of this crime is online. It's these predators taking advantage of social media, all these dating platforms, and gaming platforms as well. And they're manipulating these young people, these kids, these young adults. They're on there. They start to build this fake friendship with them. So these kids, they think they're friends with these people after 2-3 months of gaming. And the next thing you know, they sort of know what's bothering them or what's their stresses, you know, dysfunctional families, what's wrong in their lives. And then they start to promise them something better. And the next thing you know, they're sharing pictures of each other, usually explicit. And then next thing you know, they're extorting them or sextorting them for more photos, money, or to meet up. Otherwise, they're going to share this information publicly.
Joe, again, we're speaking with Joe Sweeney. He is the founder of a group I am behind 1,000%, the Acervo Project. I want you to go support them. Joe, can you explain to parents out there, because right now there are a bunch of families that listen to the show, which I love, and they're probably saying to themselves, at least some of them, hey, I'm not worried about my son, my daughter. Yeah, they're online, they're on social media, but I've raised them the right way, and they know values. They know right from wrong. Joe, are all the kids who end up getting exploited here, are they all just kids on the fringes of society, or do they have a way to worm their way into normal kids' lives?
Yeah, the latter's true, Jesse. This epidemic does not discriminate. It's every demographic. It's every economic class. It does not matter. We've had several cases from very, very solid families, faithful families, financially secure, where their kids have been manipulated into doing something they wouldn't do, like sharing these photos. We just had a case 3 weeks ago where very smart young man, I don't want to get too much into details because it's sort of still wrapping up, but this young man at 14 years old was also taking coding classes already at a university. And he basically, in 2.5 weeks, met these guys, and they talked him into running away from home. Straight-A student, sports, little socially awkward, but they convinced him there's a better life out there instead of this boring life that he had. It attacks everybody. I mean, I'd even say we have more cases of middle-class and upper-class families from that sort of demographic than we do the at-risk. It's about 50-50, I guess. So anybody's vulnerable. Anybody can be trafficked. If they have a vulnerability or if they've made a mistake and done something that can be extorted on, they flip the switch, and the next thing you know, they got control of them.
Joe, what do you say to parents out there listening right now and kids out there? We have a bunch of kids who listen to the show, some without their parents. What do you say to people who want to know more, want to understand more about this, the dangers, the education of it, or people who maybe possibly going through this as a victim right now? There might be a child, probably is a child or several listening that's going through this. What can they do? Scared, don't know what's going on. What can they do?
Yeah, I tell you, they can get on our website. We have a contact page there. The website is theacervoproject.org, and fill it out. I get all those. The investigation team gets them as well. We'll follow up with you and see what your situation is, and we can provide resources and some advice and get you connected with the people you need to. We also have a tip line. You can leave a message on the tip line. You can leave your name. We'll get back to you, or it can be anonymous if you're a little concerned about sharing, you know, somebody in case you think you know something going on in your community. And that tip line is 877-SAVE-994. But the number is 877-728-3994. And we respond to that tip line within 4 to 5 hours. We can act on it fairly quickly. We can get you the help you need. And we'll be with you all the way to the end.
Joe, this education you provide to middle schoolers, to high schoolers, where can parents get their hands on that? I know, and I'm grateful you do it. Praise God you do it. I know you bounce around the country to various places. Parents want this knowledge. Parents want to protect their kids. They don't know how to get it. How do they get their hands on it?
Yeah. Reach out to us again on the site, and we'll be able to get you some links to some other resources out there with some basic information and educational tips. If they want us to come talk to their school, let us know. We have to schedule it fairly out in advance because of the number of requests. But we've already done them in South Carolina. We got a request in Colorado. A little bit of a cost there, nothing crazy. We'll get out there and we'll talk to your school. We'll get some people out there to really stand you up a nice program to continually reinforce your students of what's going on there. We have a Q&A piece with it where the kids, we have them right on cards, so it's anonymous at the end. And they're sharing their experiences. Like, listen, I've already shared photos and videos. What do I do? Who do I talk to? I'm afraid, you know, sometimes, I hate to say it, Jesse, but sometimes it's within the family confines. So, you know, we're there to help them. And, you know, the counselors at the schools have been great. They really know their students. And we're just a partner there to help facilitate whatever help they need.
Yeah, you're definitely coming to my kid's school. Joe, if people want to support you, and I want people to support the Acervo Project, this is something we will be digging in permanently on this show. How can they do it? What do they do? What do you need?
Well, certainly support is probably the number one. We have a lot of volunteers, but, you know, we need to get some continuity here. On our website, there's a donate page. We have a couple campaigns. We have a $14 a month campaign where the average child to be trafficked in the United States is 14 years old.
Oh.
So we have a $14 a month campaign. If you get on there, it's reoccurring. And that $14 a month gets split. Half goes to the operations section where they're identifying predators online and the investigations team out there doing surveillance if we need to. The other half goes directly to the education piece to get it in front of more kids. We also have one called Double the Donations where businesses can get behind us with a match. If they put their business on there, if they're not already on that giving platform, like we have some, it's every employee donates $1 a pay or $2 a pay, and the employer will match that. And it's about the masses, right? We can all participate at this level to make the difference. And we really look forward to teaming up with your listeners and everybody else. You know, we really, really have a lot going on here, and we really could use the support.
The AcervoProject.org. Please go support this group. Let's go save some kids. Joe, I appreciate you very much, my brother. Please keep going. We need you.
Thank you, Jesse. We appreciate it. And God bless to you and all your listeners.
Me too. Man, maybe it's just because I'm a dad. That stuff scares me to death. Just think about my boys. Ugh. All right. Hey, go support them if you can. Also, support yourself. Support yourself by becoming healthier than you are now. I need to be healthier than I am now. I'm not pointing any fingers. I'm not the model of health here. Part of the reason I started a male vitality stack from Chalk a year ago was I became aware of the fact that I'm not getting all the things I need from just my food. I need supplements. But I don't want big pharma crap. I don't want garbage. I want natural. You know, I'm a big believer in natural. I don't like a bunch of medicines and things like that. Man, you start taking a male vitality stack from Chalk, you don't have to get your blood work done to see that you're doing better. Now, you'll see that too. You'll know it in just a few months with how you feel. Fellas, 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse gets you 35% off subscriptions. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Chris, turn that off. What is that? I like Rob Zombie just fine, not when he's massacring an American song. What? Don't. Oh my gosh, that was terrible. I need some kind of cleanser for my ears. It's the Jesse Kelly Show, and I've still got to get to all this Miller Lite stuff and Barack Obama. Gosh, I can't stand Obama, and get to some emails. But you know what's wild? I didn't even give out the phone number, and people are calling into the show. And there's some guy on the line that sounds awesome about his grandfather and tail gutting and B-29. You know what? I'm going to him. We're just rolling the dice. Screw it. 877-377-4373. David, Jersey. Crap, I don't think I pressed the number right. David, are you there? I didn't do it right. Hang on, David. Wait. Chris, come fix this button thing. Chris is coming to fix it, David. Don't go anywhere. Michael or Chris probably screwed something up somewhere along the way. All right, quit.
Let's get back to something we were talking about earlier. I've been trying to get a hold of David, but he's not. I'm screwing something up. Anyway, we were talking earlier. This is way earlier in the show about how we point out the hypocrisy of things, the FBI, New York, and things like that. Well, remember, the hypocrisy is the point. One, hypocrisy, pointing it out to them. Remember, it doesn't mean anything to the communists. That's all conservatism has been my whole life. Well, can you imagine if a Republican did that? As if the communist has any moral common ground with you. He doesn't care about being a communist or being a hypocrite. He's a religious zealot. That doesn't mean anything to him. It would mean something to you. So you think it would mean something to him. It means nothing to him. His hypocrisy means nothing whatsoever. That's one. Two, the fact that there are two different standards and you're seeing it now, that's half the point. Like we've talked about before, look, we'll go back to the COVID stuff. Remember, they kept getting, quote, caught violating their own COVID rules because they wanted you to catch them. It was all these mayors and governors, and they're always out in public. Remember that mayor of San Francisco? What's her name? I can't forget. London Breed. She was at a bar. It's not like she was photographed sneaking in the back door of her friend's house to have a beer. She was at a bar at a table of like 10 people. Of course she knew she was going to get caught. And you remember what she said? Remember when she was asked about it? Remember what she said?
I got up and started dancing because I was feeling the spirit.
Does that sound like an apology to you? No. You're the peasant with the FBI stuff. Yes, you. You're held to standards, peasant. Me. I need you to know that I'm a ruler. And therefore, the rules I get to break, I want you to watch me break them. That's why they do what they do. All right, I have to hear about this B-29 thing. David in Jersey, go.
Hey, I saw Doug Sittel, Sittel, on Google. When you hear Trump say you can't have those two items unless you get out, I have two digital recorders.
I don't know what was going on there, but that certainly was not something that was going to happen here on the Jesse Kelly Show. So that's strike one, 877-377-4373. I can't guarantee you there will be three strikes allowed tonight, especially. Look, I still have PTSD from Friday. Don't test me. All right. Don't test me tonight. Now let's go to this Miller Lite thing and other stuff. Oh, by the way, you really need to get some gold in your hands or silver in your hands. Nearly 6 in 10 small business owners are saying there's a chance they're closing the doors. You understand that small businesses are half of the American economy, right? So 60% of half the economy is closing down. We are heading, I told you what Peter Schiff told me last week. He's the guy who predicted the 2008 recession. He told me last week, you know, I've been telling you there's going to be a Great Depression coming. And Peter was talking about how bad everything was. And I asked Peter, I said, so I've been saying there's a Great Depression coming. What do you think about that? And I was half expecting him to say, well, I'm not sure about that. Or I could see that being right, kind of giving one of those answers. You know what Peter Schiff told me? One of these economic experts, you know what he told me? He said, oh, I think it'll be worse than the Great Depression. I said, I'm sorry, what? And he went on to explain about how the world is moving off of the dollar, how that will change America in ways that will change everyone's standard of living in ways you can't possibly imagine. Do you have gold and silver yet in your 401k, in your IRA? Do you have it in your physical possession? Call 833-995-GOLD, 833-995-GOLD, and get Oxford on it. They will take care of it. They will make it easy, I promise. All right, 833-995-GOLD. Now, let's have a talk, a practical talk, to every business manager, business owner, CEO, anyone in charge of the hiring and firing in this country. I need you to pay attention to me. And even if you're a normie norm, kind of non-political, I need you to pay attention to this and understand that what I'm about to say, you don't even have to take it as being political. I want you to take it as being
good business. This is good business. You know, Bud Light just got in a lot of trouble for doing the whole tranny on a Bud Light can thing. And when I say trouble, we're talking sales down 30%. Billions of dollars lost by this point in time. Well, right after that, Miller Lite came out with this doozy today.
Here's a little known fact. Women were among the very first to brew beer ever. From Mesopotamia to the Middle Ages to colonial America, women were the ones doing the brewing. Centuries later, how did the industry pay homage to the founding mothers of beer? They put us in bikinis. Wow. Wild. It's time beer made it up to women. So today, Miller Lite is on a mission to clean up not just their shit, but the whole beer industry's shit. Miller Lite has been scouring the internet for all this shit and buying it.
Yeah. You got all the cussing, the I am woman, hear me roar stuff. Today, Miller Lite is getting it both barrels. So how could a company that sells beer to dudes who watch football on Sunday be so tone deaf that they put something out like this in the wake of the Bud Light thing? You businessmen, you ready? Let's talk.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.